way more food than our families can possibly eat. And we have the best healthcare technology in the world, but the worst provision. This is a system that must change. It's now time to hear from the front lines of this crisis.
My name is Anu Yadav. I'm an artist, I'm a playwright, and an actress, and an educator. I started out doing this work, doing housing organizing as an ally, or so I thought, to public housing residents who were protesting the demolition and forced relocation of their homes. But when I lost my housing, healthcare, and income all at the same time, I was terrified, panicked, and I went to the people that I thought I was an ally to because they were guiding me. I am the daughter of Indian Hindu immigrants to this country, and this movement is for my father, who struggled with steady work, who blamed himself for not having enough for his family, who was in and out of the psychiatric ward of a hospital and who killed himself when I was 10. This movement is for my mother, who raised me and my brother without anybody around, without anybody. And this movement is for me, and this movement is for you, each of us, all of our family members, because no one gets left behind.
I myself am a worker for IHSS. I'm a care provider. I'm a single mom. I just barely got into low-income housing in Fireball, and I have been homeless, not necessarily sleeping on the streets, but with my child, have had to live with somebody because I could not afford to rent in my own apartment. But thanks to low-income housing, I do now, and my life's getting a lot better. And my mom had died out there, and it's not something I wanted to have to deal with, but I do, and I'm here because I don't want her to have died in vain. I had to go down there to G Street and look for her when I wanted her to be grandma to my kids. And those places are scary sometimes because they're hiding in the dark because they're not allowed to be there. And they're going to get in trouble if they're hiding from the police and they're hiding from being harassed. Give them a place where they can go. If they can't be anywhere else, give them somewhere.
My name is India, and I'm a 38-year-old mother of five. Arkansas is the only state in the U.S. where landlords are not required to make home repairs, so they often refuse. I've woken up in the morning to use the restroom, and when I flushed the toilet, feces came out of the faucet, straight into the tub. When this happened, I had to hurry up and clean it because this is the same tub that my children need to get ready for school in every morning. You think that this could only happen once, but this was my experience in not one, not two, but three different homes I rented that were owned by three different landlords. These dangerous, unempathetic practices are part of a system that has been set up by the privileged and wealthy against and to the detriment of me and all of the working class poor people. But what they did not count on was us galvanizing our collectives, us drawing strength from those who came before us unifying, standing shoulder to shoulder, empowering each other, us loving to get in good trouble, and us being that new and unsettling force who will not stop until we have safe housing for all people and for future generations to come.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. We're going to take a short station break. When we return, we'll continue part three of our coverage, the Sojourner Truth series, on the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. You will hear more audio from the Mass Poor People's Assembly and Moral March on Washington, D.C. digital gathering held on June 20th, 2020. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sojourner Truth. Check us out on our Facebook on SoTrueRadio.org. If you're on Facebook, you can look for us and friend us there. We're also on SoundCloud. You can go to the search bar and type in Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott to find us. And today, we'd like to give a shout out to the Sojourner Truth listeners in Baltimore, Maryland. And internationally, we would like to give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners in the UK. If you've missed any part of this series, you can find it in our SoundCloud profile. Now, we return to part three of the Mass, Poor People's Assembly, and Moral March on Washington, D.C. Let's hear from the speakers now.
My name is Zalonda Woods, and I'm a member of the Homeless Union. We believe that when poor people name their own priorities because they know their own needs and know what needs to happen, that real change will be produced. If poor people are not allowed to speak these priorities for themselves, no one else will. I understand some things about poverty because I am a poor person, having four children living off a disability due to chronic medical conditions. I have been forced out after speaking out about substandard living conditions in Greensboro and homeless after aging out of foster care. But this is not just about my story. This is about how there's too many people in situations like mine. And when there's this many people getting evicted and separated from their families and getting criminalized and becoming homeless, then we know it's not just about one of us. 23 families face eviction every day in Greensboro. And more than half of these people wind up homeless because of it. And the vast majority of these folks are people who have already been beaten up by the system. Black folks, brown folks, disabled folks, elderly folks, and children. But the people who maintain this system don't want to talk about it. They want to blame us and blame this mess on us. Like it's our individual choices that got us into this. We have to correct that. We have to remind people that mass homelessness is not an individual moral issue. Mass homelessness is a society's collective moral failure.
This is why we demand housing for all. We demand an expansion of public and affordable housing.
We demand relief from household and mortgage debt and rent payments during this crisis. We demand expanding SNAP and other programs to meet nutritional needs.
This is why we're changing the narrative. We won't be silent anymore.
Public education is under attack. Did you know that half of kindergarten through 12th grade students are in segregated schools? Did you know that 1.5 million students were homeless in 2018? Were you aware that student debt is now over $1.5 trillion, affecting 44 million households? Now you will hear from people who have been impacted by this crisis.
Hi, I'm Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers. On behalf of our 1.7 million members, we are so blessed to be here partnering with the Poor People's Campaign Mass Assembly and all of you as we raise our voices and take action together for a better future. Meanwhile, Black and Brown students whose schools were denied almost $500 billion, yes, I said $500 billion, in the last several decades, are now being told by Republicans in the U.S. Senate they should return to schools with even less funding. This immoral attack on our nation's children and the undermining of public education and public higher education must end.
Let me introduce myself. My name is Carla Mendez Guerrero. I am deaf. I myself am the first in my family to go to college. And I do admit I have struggled, I've been struggling financially. My father's income increased recently, but then that resulted in them cutting my financial aid. So his increase in income isn't enough to support my schooling. College is so expensive, I'm overwhelmed. There are actually 120 students at Gallaudet that have had to leave school due to financial issues. They can't afford food, their dorm, their transportation. That's actually 10% of our undergrad student body at Gallaudet. We're trying to follow our dreams, but they seem impossible without support.
As a young person living in Harlan County, I think a lot of times our voices are put down. A lot of people around here don't really realize the issues that are going on. And I think that it's time that we, as a people, educate the people that don't know what's going on in their communities. It's time that we show our elected officials, our state legislators, what's going on. And that us young people know what they're doing. That us young people and us as the people are going to rise above, and that we will not lay silent no more.
I bring you greetings as a native here in Chula, Mississippi, but also an educator here in Holmes County Consolidated School District. There are very limited resources here in Chula as I grew up. There are very limited jobs. There are very limited resources such as mental health facilities, recreation centers, and even sometimes there are very limited resources when it came to schools. Notice when the state get ready to cut budgets and cut funds, the first budget they go to is the education budget, because a lot of their children are not in the schools that we teach in. A lot of their children are not in the schools that our kids go to school in. Most of them are in those private schools. And we must know, we see a lot of charter schools that are opening up here in the state of Mississippi. And we also need to know that a lot of our state funds is coming from the government and stuff that's coming from the education budget is going over into those charter schools.
This is why we demand equity in education.
An end to the resegregation of schools. Relief from crushing student debt.
Free tuition at public institutions.
And equitable funding for HBCUs and Native institutions.
This is why we are changing the narrative.
We won't be silent anymore.
Last year, I received a call from Dr. Barber to come and join this movement. And the year before he was gunned down on a Memphis balcony, I met Dr. King and Fannie Lou Hamer marching on the streets of Indianola, Mississippi. We are living in similar times when a new movement is being birthed and born, but we need you to help us grow and build that movement.
We know that when movements start to push this nation forward, that there is always a backlash from those who don't want to see everybody enjoying the rights and liberties promised to us by our Constitution and our holiest of scriptures. But if we mobilize, organize, register, and educate like never before, we will be there to meet the backlash with a movement that's too strong and too broad to be broken. The Poor People's Campaign needs your support. We need you to show up with your bodies and your voice. We need you to get the Poor People's Moral Justice Jubilee Policy Platform into the hands of Congress. We need you to vote.
Hi, I'm Dante Sharp. I was wrongfully convicted of murder in 1994. I did 25, almost 26 years. I notice a lot of things. I notice the mass incarceration, and the people that make up the mass incarceration are poor people. You know, if you're poor, you're going to jail. That's just how it is. If you have no money, you're going to jail. You know, you don't have the funds to hire lawyers, and the system is set up really to oppress the poor, keep them down, you know, encourage people to get out and vote, encourage the kids, the young kids to get off the streets. Just do your part, what you can do, what's available to you right in front of you.
Hi, my name is Caitlin Swain. Poor communities are being locked up and locked out. Did you know we spend $179 billion annually on incarceration?
Did you know that the United States has 4% of the world's population and 25% of the world's incarcerated population? We have to fight for power over the corporations that hurt us, power over the justice system that exploits us, and power over so many of the systems that put us in harm's way.
Hello, my name is Connie Swain. My son is Anthony Swain, and my husband here is Anthony Swain Sr. We have been on a complete roller coaster ever since Anthony has been incarcerated, which started actually in February of 2016. Anthony is a paraplegic 40-year-old black man who was shot in the back at age 20. He's now 43. He has spent the last 4 years with his health being in a declining state. And we have been attempting, especially since the COVID, to get him released. He has been taken to the hospital and diagnosed as positive for COVID-19. They would wake him up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, take him to court. He doesn't come back from court until 8 and 9 o'clock at night. And with being gone all day, he's placed in a cell with his hands and legs shackled together. He already can't move from the waist down. And yet he can't even shift his weight nor take care of his own personal hygiene because of the way they treat him in jail. So we are very concerned about him, about anybody that has any other type of disability, about those young men and women who have families where they can go home to help to take care of or be taken care of by their families. And for whatever reason, our system just is not listening.
My name is Kaleem Nazim, and my incarceration at the age of 17 wasn't due to a lack of guidance or morals from my family or loved ones. That people in low-income communities are not criminals. Yeah. But a crime has been perpetrated against them. Yeah. And that crime is called poverty.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yes.
I never stole or committed a crime because I have a propensity to commit crimes. I did it because either I needed something or I was hungry. When I was 9 years old, my mother was locked up in for food stamp fraud. And that left me and my other five siblings alone in the house to fend for ourselves. Now the state knew that she was a single mother. But they found that locking her up was justice. But I feel and I know that the crime that was perpetrated against my mother and my family was way worse than what they say she did.
Yeah.
Me llamo Alex y soy de Guatemala.
I'm Alex, I'm from Guatemala.
Les quiero platicar lo que todos los inmigrantes pasamos en el centro de detención.
I want to tell you what all immigrants go through in detention centers.
En el centro de detención cuando estábamos todos los inmigrantes no nos daban, nos trataron mal.
At the detention center where I was with other immigrants, they didn't treat us well.
De comida, un burrito, helado nos daban y no nos dejaban bañar.
They gave us a frozen burrito to eat, and they didn't allow us to take a shower.
No somos animales para que nos traten así a todos los inmigrantes.
We are not animals to be treated like that.
This is why we demand an end to mass incarceration.
Voting rights for those who are incarcerated.
We demand equality and safety for all.
We demand education, housing, and living wage jobs. I need your help. It has to stop, and it has to stop now.
This is why we're changing the narrative.
And we won't be silent anymore.
The military budget is over $738 billion, and majority of it is going to military contractors. Just one of those military contracts could pay to expand Medicaid in 14 states.
Did you know that 54 cents of every discretionary federal dollar goes to the military, and only 15 cents goes to anti-poverty programs? It's time to change all that. Let's hear from the front lines of this crisis.
My name is Chris Overfeld, and I'm with Veterans for Peace. I was a hydraulics mechanic in the Air Force National Guard, and it is no secret that there's always enough money for a bigger military and more jails, but never enough for education and the poor. When I joined the military, I had no idea that the United States military has over 1,000 bases worldwide. Why do we keep such a strong presence throughout the world? The short answer is to provide Western capital with continuous access to foreign resources and markets. Most of the military budget is used not to fight wars, but to exercise soft power in the support of American capital. Instead of a deployed military ensuring the wealth transfer continues, we have a deployed police force that protects the wealthy from the poor. When I joined the military, I had no idea that the best way to end American militarism abroad is to end it here in our community. There are four ways to do this. End the occupation of our minority community by the police. End the war on drugs. Provide access to health care and education to all people. And end the war on immigrants by defunding ICE and the Border Patrol.
We will not get rid of our problems by bombing them away, by shipping them away, by throwing them behind bars. According to the Department of Defense, for the fiscal year 2017, we spent $606 billion on the Department of Defense. 2019, we spent $685 billion. And for the year 2020, they're proposing $718 billion. To put this in perspective, for the year 2020, the Department of Education is only getting 9.9% of that amount.
I'm Reverend Shauna Foster, and I am representing veterans with About Face Veterans Against the War. You get promises with the military-industrial complex that we have to spend on defense for our own security. But after 16 years of war, 1.2 million civilian deaths and 10 million refugees, is anybody more secure?
No.
Most of the national budget is for war, and most of that money is given to private corporations, not to a publicly owned and accountable military, and not to the poor people who make up the majority of the 3 million veterans who have served in these last wars. These wars, they serve no moral purpose and no economic benefit. And military members are forced to carry out the spiritual death of this nation.
Mama.
But the spirit will not die, because veterans and poor people across the land, we are a resurrection people.
The Pentagon budget is more than what the government spends on agriculture, education, environment, diplomacy, housing, science, and veterans combined.
This is why we demand that we stop the privatization of military spending and military spending increases. We demand the reallocation of resources to Social Security. We demand
the demilitarization of the border and local communities. And that's why I'm a part of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for more revival.
We won't be silent anymore.
Police brutality is something that's lived deep within our country for such a long time. The only thing that's different now is that we can't ignore the call.
We here because they are taking black lives and they get away with it.
When folks ask black people in America, are we upset? The answer is yes. There's literally no way that all lives can matter in a country where black lives have never mattered.
Say her name!
Say her name!
Say her name!
Say her name!
Living in America is a constant state of mourning.
until we fully address the poisonous root of this country and the original sins of this country, there will be mourning every day.
Go, go!
Being out in the streets, it feels revolutionary. With this amplified police presence, it's terrifying.
We were tear gassed, we were pepper sprayed, and many were shot with rubber bullets. And in the midst of all of that, protesters still standing with their hands up, saying, don't shoot.
We all know this is exactly the type of situation that these systems are meant to break.
Yo, they almost hit a kid, man!
They are meant to break us before we can even become unified, so it adds a sense of urgency to the importance of organizing.
This don't stop here. We can't ease up.
The front that we present has to be an intersectional front because it is a war that's affecting all of us. And we have to recognize that we are so much stronger together than we are divided.
These uprisings are going to continue to happen until we have built and fought for a government in a country that treats people with human dignity, that provides for food, housing, healthcare, education, jobs, and an ability for people to live lives worthy of meaning and dignity in this country. That's why I'm a part of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, because this is the way that we're going to do it. Organization is the only way to build the world that we deserve, the world that we have already earned, the world that our descendants and our children can be proud of. Did you know, because of the Department of Defense's 1033 program, excess military equipment like tanks, grenade launchers, and other weapons of war are being sent to law enforcement agencies?
Did you know that over 36,000 people die from gun violence every single year, including 2,800 children? Did you know that border immigration enforcement spending has increased by 900% over the past 40 years, with 11 times as many deportations during that time frame?
My name is Claudia de la Cruz, and I'm an organizer, a theologian, and a mother. And as someone who was born and raised in the poorest congressional district in the United States, which is the South Bronx, and has witnessed firsthand the brutality and the terror that is inflicted by the state through its police department, there is no other option than walking and working on the side of justice. I think mothers, and I can speak to as a mom of a black boy who is growing up in this country, in this society, that when George Floyd was killed, there was a call that he made, and he called for his mom, you know. And I think most mothers who saw that clip of those 8 minutes and 46 seconds when the life was being taken out of this man and heard him call for his mom, heard our own children call for us. And so when we're talking about decisive moments, this is the moment. No police should be walking around with military equipment. No police department should have tear gases or rubber bullets or tanks. You know, it's ludicrous, it's crazy. And only in a crazy society would we accept that as the norm. This country has invested in death and has refused to invest in life-giving projects. And enough is enough. I think the people of this country are clear and are taking the streets and will continue to take the streets for as long as the demands are met and the vision isn't achieved.
My name is Hakeem Ali. I came home in 2003 after serving 40 years in state and federal institutions. I walked the yard with a whole lot of men who were serving death by incarceration. When I was 15 years old, here in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia Finest decided that I couldn't be out after curfew, so two very, very large red hair police officers cornered me on 60th Street in West Philly. I was about three blocks from my home. I'm a young guy. I'm from the street. And when they approached me, I didn't know who they were. Lights was all in my eyes, and I tried to defend myself. And they beat me to a bloody pulp right there on 60th Street. They almost killed me in the street.
We demand a ban on assault rifles and easy access to firearms. We demand the demilitarization of our border and our communities. This is why we're changing the narrative. We won't be silent anymore.
We're out of time. I'd like to thank all of the speakers featured in today's show. We want to thank the national team of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, for giving us permission to air this audio. I would also like to thank the Sojourner Truth team, Romero Funes, our assistant producer, and today's audio engineer. If you'd like a copy of today's show, you can contact the Pacifica Radio Archives at 1-800-735-0230 or go online to pacificaradioarchives.org. And remember to visit our website, sotrueradio.org, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our handle is @SoTrueRadio. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
Wednesday, March 3rd at 10 p.m., KBOO makes everything metal. It's the Metal March, a special benefit show for KBOO Community Radio.